April is festival month, and I've got Kelly Dozier coming to talk with us about Lemoyne Chain of Parks Art Festival. We have Rick Miner, now the third in our series of candidates, that will talk with us today about his bid. And I've got Deanna Louie. Dr. Louie will talk with us about your optical health. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb, and there was a violent earthquake. For an angel of the Lord rolled back the stone and said unto the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen." This Easter, may your heart be filled with the faith and wonder of that first Easter morning, now and throughout the year. A message of hope from Dr. Scott Pliskin at Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive for special care from special people for those you love. Call 402-0557. Widen Glass on South Monroe, Tallahassee's first family in glass for mirrors, shower enclosures, tabletops, and window glass. Call 222-5781. And Truck and Car Concepts, Tallahassee's market leader for truck and auto accessories, 3270 Mahan Drive. Call 656-8800.
Welcome again, boys and girls, to this exciting edition of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Every week, in my opinion, is exciting. I'll leave you all to your own judgment about that. Just cut back on the email. I don't need any more snarky email, okay? It's enough. But in any case, it's exciting to me because, genuinely, I know you think I'm just schmoozing you here. I think Tallahassee's going through some exciting growth spurts, kind of like teenagers, you know, that they're starting to grow hair in certain places that they hadn't been growing before. And it's changing then how things work around town and how it is that we find ourselves in this modern world. And some of those ideas that we've challenged along the way that just don't work anymore. Just not, you know. What is it the New Testament says? Paul says, you know, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. And, you know, I grew up and I put away childish things. And, okay, yeah, right. Well, some of us maybe haven't yet quite accomplished that. Some of us are going back the other way. I'm probably in that grouping, becoming more childish. Nonetheless, here is Leon County, city of Tallahassee, finding its place in this region and across the world in ways that I think are somewhat unique, unprecedented perhaps. And I speak of those festivals and occurrences of celebration that we have decided to make part of our regular landscape. You know, think back here 10, 15 years ago. There was one springtime festival that did what? Well, let's see. Celebrated our past. Right. And that past, not so well celebrated among some members of our community, particularly African Americans. When they look at the history of Florida and Leon County in its day, I think the census of 1860 reveals that we had more plantations than any other county in Florida, and better than 70% of the population was enslaved. Well, okay, so maybe we'll focus on the future. Maybe we can look at who we are today and what we want to be going forward. So here comes the Chain of Parks Art Festival, this little nugget of culture and celebration about things artistic in nature. It's a fundraiser for Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts and Kozeliski and Company over there. Kelly has been chairing this thing. I think that's her proper title. We're going to find out from Kelly Dozier what she's got up her sleeve for this year's highly touted, very well celebrated, juried art festival. It's among the top in the country. And Lemoyne's not the one saying that. This is coming from third party, outside sources looking in and saying, wow, that Lemoyne Art Festival every spring is substantial in that regard. And here's another tip for you by way of Lemoyne Arts Education. This is Summer Camp 2018. Lemoyne Arts Summer Camp, of course. This year we are combining your favorite toys and games with the creativity of art. Join Lemoyne this summer as we play through the decades and see which beloved toys and games got us to where we are today. Well, now that seems rather cool. We'll start our hula hooping into the 50s and yo-yoing through the 60s. Then we'll go on with Stretch Armstrong and the Cabbage Patch Kids in the 70s. Fascinating. Camp is available for students grades K through 7th grade, ages 6 through 12. Each group will rotate through 4 classes every day. Pretty cool. Decorative arts, two-dimensional arts, three-dimensional arts, ceramics, all kinds of stuff going on. You need to learn about this. How do you do so? Well, you can go to their website, lemoyne.org, simple enough, L-E-M-O-Y-N-E, lemoyne.org. You can email education@lemoyne.org, or you can call them, 222-7622. Lemoyne Arts Education, their summer camp program for 2018. What else are we known for? Talking about how we are recognized among ourselves and across the nation and across the world. Well, the Village Square does its part, I think. Again, a rather new arrival on the list of very cool things that Tallahassee is contributing here and abroad. I mean, do you realize that the Village Square now has been replicated in other communities based on this model? Yeah, Liz Joyner and company over there, blood, sweat, and tears, man. They have worked hard to create for all of us this Village Square Forum, which, you know, in and out, they continue to push forward in hosting events that are encouraging civil discourse at their core. I mean, what they want is a place for us all to exchange ideas in a manner that is creating more light than heat. There's a concept. So here's an opportunity to have conversation about stuff that really matters more, perhaps. Let you be the judge of that. But the Village Square is making their contribution, and they're hosting something called Dead Center. And the subtext, how political polarization divided America and what we can do about it. Well, now there's a healthy topic. Former Congressman Jason Altmaier, he's going to be at the Village Square Forum on April 10th. And it's their final dinner program of the season. This former U.S. Congressman Jason Altmaier, who National Journal described as voting in the dead center during his three terms in Congress. And that record got him both a great title for his book, Dead Center, and a one-way ticket back home, since centrism and compromise aren't exactly trending in Washington, in case you hadn't noticed. So that's coming up on the 10th of April. So, and here's another Village Square thing. So God Squad at night to host special guest Methodist minister from Ireland. Well, okay. And it's entitled, this particular meeting, Rethinking Conflict with Reverend Dr. Gary Mason, Champion of Conflict Transformation, Peace Building, and Reconciliation. And he's quoted as saying, "No democracy can survive without the will of its members to sacrifice." This guy, being a Methodist minister, spent most of his career in the inner city of Belfast, building peace across the ghosts of religious division that had dogged his little island, Ireland, for hundreds and hundreds of years. Now, it actually happened this last Thursday night from 7 to 8:30. So if you're hearing about this now, thinking, gosh, I'd like to be able to attend. Sorry. Just getting the news. We just got the news earlier, so we're not able to give you enough warning. However, it bears announcing because it illustrates my point here. We're in the midst of a lot of change going on around this town that has, for its collective good, brought us to a new place. And it's not ending. It's not over. It's just starting to happen. Let's stay tuned, folks. We've got a lot coming up. Be right back.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Dr. Deanna Louie is back. She's with us again to talk about the proper care of our eyeballs. How are you, Dr. Louie?
I'm good, thank you.
Nice to have you back with us.
Nice to be back.
The last time we were here, we talked a lot about your particular area of practice and your proficiencies. For those who may not have yet gotten to know you very well, tell us about your areas of practice.
Well, I'm a comprehensive ophthalmologist, and specialize in things such as cataract surgery. I also do a lot of medical retina work with diabetic disease and macular degeneration. And I also am a LASIK provider.
Mm. And as an MD specializing in diseases of the eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those things that are structural in nature, especially. I remember you talking about this remarkable ability to go in and provide cataract surgery that sounds almost science fiction in its precision and such, right?
The technology surrounding cataract surgery has evolved rapidly in the recent years. In the past, I think it was enough to just clear the cataract and be able to see with glasses. But now our patients are demanding more and more with the results that we're getting. And so we have specialized devices which allow us to really pinpoint the type of lenses that we implant, and we can get rid of glasses at near, at far, and do, you know, a lot with our cataract surgery nowadays. Our incisions are so small nowadays that we don't need suture.
More comprehensive then, when you're not just solving one problem, you're really going after
a lot of different issues. Exactly.
And in that capacity too, as I recall, cataracts are a condition of life. It's not that it picks on one person or another. Some of us may develop them more, let's say, earlier in life than others.
Right.
But it's really part of the aging process.
It sure is. Yeah. You know, almost everybody that I examine over the age of 50 or 55 will have some amount of cataract starting. And I've done cataract surgery on patients as young as teenagers or patients in their 20s due to other diseases. Mm. And so it's really very ubiquitous.
Mm. In your practice, the demands for your proficiency and your knowledge of the practice, the knowledge that you have to maintain, that's got to be formidable.
How do you, what do you see happening, I guess, on that horizon in terms of advancements?
Well, things are coming all the time in terms of advancements. You know, as a medical doctor, we're required to keep up with a lot of this via our continuing education and maintenance of certification. We have yearly meetings to attend and examinations to undergo every several years, every 10 years, to make sure that we keep abreast of all of these advancements.
Yeah. Is there a kind of trending toward even more precise measures? Is that a point of infinity? You know, there's just no finite end to that effort, huh?
Right. And that's absolutely true. You know, we even with the calculations that we use for determining the lens power for cataract surgery, that has become more and more refined over the years. And recently, there are physicians that are using even aspects of artificial intelligence to really try to pinpoint and improve the accuracy of our results.
I was about to ask you how much of the technology, and in including in that, of course, the software, is coupled with your abilities as the technician here, right?
Right.
And
there,
and so is that balance sort of leaning more toward those that are those technologies versus your skill, or are they sort of matched? You have to be able to keep up with the technology in that way.
I think you have to keep up with it. You know, the technology will always provide some advantages and advances, but you need to know how to use the technology and in what cases it is a help or a hurt.
Yeah. I would imagine, too, that as you're looking at that patient, right, you're seeing not just the presenting issue, in this case, cataracts. You're looking at the whole picture.
That's absolutely right, and that's what they call the art of medicine versus the science.
Do patients report to you before they go through the surgery a level of frustration? Is there a kind of, okay, I've had enough of this? When do they decide it's time for me to do this?
I absolutely listen for the specific symptoms that relate to cataracts when we decide on cataract surgery. You know, for me, I'm the type of physician who I'm not going to twist your arm to do surgery. I won't, and I will not dictate to you that you must have surgery unless that cataract is in such a state that it is harming the health of your eye or the potential health of your eye. And so beyond that, I listen to how is it affecting your life. And so oftentimes the first thing a patient will notice is that they're getting more glare at night and unable to drive at night anymore, secondary to their vision. And then over time, the quality of their vision is just degrading. It's becoming more poor and things are becoming more blurry. It affects people at different levels, you know, depending on the demands of their life.
Is that something that you spend time with? You look at, you know, my kids are doing well. What about the rest of the community?
Absolutely. You know, just the ability to see what's out there, I think, is very important. Trying to expose people to different cultures, different opportunities, different ways of life, and being able to kind of choose what you want out of that, you know, to know that there's different things out there.
Well, and there's been some encouragement there. I think we've found a lot of activities around town, festivals and various organizations now, that are starting to bring people together rather than the feeling sort of excluded.
Right.
People are feeling that, wow, man, there's a chance for me to participate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your contributions to us as a community.
Oh, my pleasure.
I trust that Tallahassee will remain your chosen home for the near future and maybe for a very long time. We certainly want to keep you around. Dr. Deanna Louie, our guest here in segment six today, talking about keeping ourselves seeing well and courtesy of all of our friends over there at Eye Associates in Tallahassee. Thank you again for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you have been in Tallahassee for any length of time, you know that we are characterized by the festivals we celebrate around the calendar year. It happens that in our history, we were always familiar with the folks at Springtime Tallahassee, but you know, there came upon us this opportunity to celebrate art, and I mean fine art in its fullest extent, and it's courtesy of the good folks with Lemoyne. Lemoyne Arts, as they are now referred to, easier for guys like me to remember, has for now a number of years brought to us this little jewel every April, referred to as the Chain of Parks Art Festival. And its beginnings, pretty humble, but enthusiastic, I would say. They were always quite hopeful that this festival would represent the very best that Tallahassee brings to the world of art. Well, folks, here we are these many years later, and in fact, that has happened. And it happens with splendor and with national acclaim. So it is our pleasure to welcome this year's chair for the Chain of Parks Art Festival, Kelly Dozier. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You're looking good. And we have Alexandra Hartsfield, who is the Director of Education for the Lemoyne.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. And notice that I'm doing what I was coached to do, Lemoyne. It's just the word now, right?
Yep.
I have to ask, was this like a thing where people said, you know, Brian just cannot seem to get this right? Can we just give him one word? It'll be a lot easier.
You
or maybe
got
I
it.
Was among several who
you got it.
Were
well,
afflicted that
we're always Lemoyne, and we used to be for a while Lemoyne Center for the Visual Arts, which was quite a mouthful.
See, for me, that's not
true. So we shortened it to the two words on the end, Lemoyne Arts. So that's who we are. We're Lemoyne Arts.
Oh, cool.
And it's easier to say, easier to fit on a piece of paper.
No doubt. It works on the business card. And it's easy to remember. But it does strike to the heart of this recognition that Jacques Lemoyne, right, who is this character in history, and I've been delighted to see that over the last few years you've been actually bringing a characterization of Jacques Lemoyne to the festival, courtesy of actors that you guys have employed. But he had a certain part to play in this community, did he not?
He did. He was the first European artist to come to Florida and actually draw images of what Florida looked like, the natives, the fauna and flora.
Interesting.
And so when those images went back to Europe, that was the first glimpse Europeans ever got of Florida. So, and they're the first known images that exist of Florida that, you know, we have access to. So they're used quite a bit. But that is why Lemoyne, when the founders of Lemoyne named it, they named it after Jacques Lemoyne. Mm.
In fact, there's a kind of, I would say, consistency from my humble observation in that here he was this sort of, we'll call him a visual explorer, right? He's making discovery and then reporting all of that by means of his artistic talents. Thankfully, and for the rest of us, we have the benefit of that. the festival to me is that as well, because for you folks over the years, it has been just that, an exploration of what can we do? What else can we do? How much more can we bring? So a lot of times I think, I look forward to your arrival every year, because it's you know, here you come with your bag on your back and you open this thing up and we find out you have all kinds of new stuff. So don't disappoint me. What do we have new for this year? I know there's got to be something.
There's always something new, and we're always trying to add more more substance, more interest, more interactions at the festival. We don't want it to be a humdrum, dull experience. So we're looking for those interactions. So we've really grown the village section of our festival. We have a lot more community partners there, and our community partners can only come in if they bring an activity for everyone to participate in.
Interesting.
So you make something, you learn something, you play games. So it's very interactive. We don't like the table and chairs and, you know, brochures on the table. That's not what we have at our festival.
It's not a trade show.
It's not. It's also not a carnival. It's an art show. So it's all focused on art and hands-on, doing things, making things. We also go green, so we're teaching people about recycling and limiting garbage that comes out of this event, and we've been very successful in that. We continue to do that in partnership with Sustainable Tallahassee. Mm-hmm. They've been an amazing partner in this. We give away over 1,000 reusable fabric bags at the festival, and these are made by Rags to Bags. It's a group in Tallahassee that gets scrap materials and makes bags and gives them out, and then they're reusable bags, so you can stop using the plastic bags, you know. So so this is kind of another element of our festival. We feel like it ties into Tallahassee and what Tallahassee's trying to do with sustainability also. So it's just adds more to the festival.
There's a kind of educational aspect to that, right?
There is.
Notice my segue, because I want to ask Alexandra about all of the other educational activities that the Lemoyne brings on our behalf.
Yeah, I mean, aside from the village, which is a great make and take area for kids, I mean, an art festival doesn't just have to be for adults, it can be for kids too. We try to bring in every aspect. We also have summer camp and Thanksgiving camp and winter camp and spring break camp. If you're out of school, we have it going on pretty much.
Yeah.
And at our summer camps, I think what really makes it different from other ones is that we have four different mediums that they go through throughout the day. They do mixed media, painting, drawing, and ceramics, which I think is hard for a lot of people to bring in. So I think that's where we definitely excel, and they make something every day. They come home with tons of projects. I have parents that say, we just set up a gallery in the house for the summer and let them put up their artwork and then just have their own opening, which we do as well with them, which is great. They get to put up their artwork at the end of every session, and their parents come and get to see it in like a gallery setting, just like any adult would have their exhibit up, and that's really cool for them to show off their artwork.
My wife
that
and
way.
I still have all of the artwork from our four now adult children having produced for us when they were kids.
Yeah.
It goes up every Easter, Christmas. It's all over the walls.
Exactly.
People are like, okay, so how old was Morgan when he did this? You know, and of course he's now 34 years old, but when he's at the house, he's only 5.
We're
just going to make that happen. And I've noticed, too, one of the camps involves toys. Is that right?
Yes, our summer camp this year involves games and toys through the decades. So getting a little nostalgia in there, I guess, for the parents as well. But, you know, Star Wars is coming back and all these great they're making a full cycle. So, and to make toys and to make games, there's a lot of design that goes into that. I mean, art is definitely involved in making toys and games. So we're going to integrate those and, you know, paint with Legos, paint with trucks, and use Jenga for a two-point perspective, things like that. So
talking with Alexandra Hartsfield and Kelly Dozier, Kelly being the chair of this year's Chain of Parks Art Festival for Lemoyne and the president of Lemoyne Arts, and happy to have them with us. You stay with me. I've got plenty more coming up. If you've missed any of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, you can always go to our website. You'll find us at TallahasseeTalks.com.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb and found the stone rolled away from the entrance. But when they entered, they did not find the body of Jesus. And it happened that two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel and said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." This Easter, may your heart be filled with the wonder of that first Easter morning. A message of joy from Dr. Eve James at Southern Smiles Family Dentistry in Quincy for comprehensive family dentistry in a relaxed, comfortable setting. Call 875-3908 Sellers Tile on Capitol Circle Northeast for the best design ideas and quality tile, carpet, hardwood flooring, mosaics, ceramic, and vinyl solutions for your home or office. Call 656-8453. And Tallahassee Family Magazine, bringing you real families, real stories, available at local newsstands and bookstores. Online at TallahasseeFamilyMagazine.com.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, "Call Dr. Pliskin." So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at MahanAnimalClinic.com or call 402-0557.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We've got Kelly Dozier, Alexandra Hartsfield. Do you ever feel like you're just going to run out of ideas? More good stuff to bring?
No, we're not. We are challenged by it because we have a high standard of quality. So it's hard to think of what we're going to do next. We're not going to have a little dog show on the side or, you know, whatever. There are lots of ideas have come through.
Imagine.
But we did establish a new piece last year, which we're going to repeat again this year. It's a free concert that happens on Saturday evening from 5 to 7.
Oh, yeah.
And this year we're very excited to have the Crickets come. And play. And they're an award-winning band. They're a female swamp folk group from Florida's Gulf Coast. And they have
swamp folk.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a really interesting sound that they have. They're on the rise, and we're excited to have them here.
Crickets.
Yeah, someday everybody's going to say, "Wow, I saw them for free at the Chain of Parks Art Festival," and look at them up there getting
That'd
their Grammys.
Me saying
you
that,
know,
by the way, yes.
Yeah. So
it's good God help me that I would ever pay for a ticket. Right? Yeah.
So they're going to be with us on Saturday night. We're very excited about that, and of course, all day long we have local groups that come and play on the main stage.
Great music.
Keep people entertained. We have wonderful food trucks there, mostly local. We have the Aloft Bar, so you know no one's going to go dry at the festival.
Absolutely,
because
plenty of lemonade for everybody.
Yes, a little bit of something goes well with art, right? So that's all fabulous. And we are going to be announcing, but I'll kind of give you a sneak peek, an amazing partnership with Opening Nights.
Oh.
It'll begin in 2019. We're going to actually expand the festival to a couple of days before. We'll actually start around Thursday or Friday with an opening. We're going to have a visiting artist come in who will be speaking with art students locally and also any of the public who wants to come in and see a demonstration.
Very cool.
So that's starting next year, and that's going to expand the festival from a two-day festival to a three- or four-day
really?
Festival. So we're very excited about that collaboration,
that's
too.
That's great. So they put you in charge, and then they just stretch you out.
Yeah.
I love
this. It's all great. It's all fun.
It's April 21st and 22nd. If you've just joined us, we're talking with Kelly Dozier and Alexandra Hartsfield, these lovely ladies who, along with many other hard-working folks are bringing us this marvelous Chain of Parks Art Festival. It free admission, and it happens regardless of the weather, rain or shine. And the other thing I want to underscore here, Kelly, is the role that this festival has played. You're seeing things like this massive CRA fund, the $3 million, that's been allocated for the advancement of, we'll say, especially downtown art. And here you guys are, pretty much as downtown as you can get. So how does that affect you guys? Do you look at that and say, aha, here's an opportunity for us to go a bit further if those funds were made available to us?
It's absolutely a unique opportunity for our community right now. That doesn't come along very often, where there are $3 million for arts and culture. And so LeMoyne is definitely looking at pursuing this opportunity. LeMoyne has been around for almost 55 years. Next year we'll be 55 years old.
Wow.
So a proven history of sticking around through tough times and good times. LeMoyne has served the community in many ways and continues to do that. But our facilities are a little sad. I'll just say that. It's a major financial drain to continually handle the deteriorating facilities. We have a historic home, which we recently renovated, so that's looking much better. Our education center, while it's still working, we're always chasing new HVAC and leaks and this and that, and it's limited. We want to create a new, sustainable, efficient, flexible campus.
Wow.
So, and we want it to happen right there downtown where we are now. We want to build a new education center that will allow us to bring out-of-town artists and other conferences there. We want to be an event space that's easy for people to use, a beautiful garden for weddings and other events. We've been that in the past. We want to move back there and pretty much set ourselves up for the next 50 years.
Would you give up your charming home that you have now?
We will keep that. We want to add on to that modern gallery. And the existing gallery would be a meeting space and also possibly a cafe and our gift shop.
Yeah.
So you walk in the front door and you're immediately in a space that's engaging. You've got our gallery, gift shop, a place for folks to meet. We can have a huge conference room there. People are always looking for places to meet.
Right.
And then you walk through and you get into our beautiful, modern, flexible gallery.
For those who may not be familiar, you're just off the intersection of Gadsden and Call Street, basically just south of Call.
Yes.
So this facility then would actually be an add-on to that, or would be in a separate on a separate piece of property, or how does that all come down? You don't know, maybe.
Well, we do know. It will all be on the property that LeMoyne currently owns.
Oh,
and a lot of people don't realize that's just under an acre downtown.
Is that right?
So there's a lot of property back there.
We've
got space. It's underutilized. It's not efficient.
Rework it.
Because we kind of moved in the way it was.
I got you.
Now we want to step back and make it what it needs to be.
And the CRA funds could be a big help.
Could be a huge help. That would
direction.
Be more than half of what we need to make it happen.
All right. Well, you have my vote on that.
Thank you.
As long as I can have my little nameplate somewhere in the building.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Tacky,
we will be holding a capital campaign with lots of naming opportunities.
That's right. Alexandra, this is the kind of nonsense that Kelly has to put up with. That's why she only does this once a year. Your role in this, though, it seems to me, is very much a hands-on kind of thing. You know, in working with all of the educational opportunities, the kids involved, do you have to have a kid who is particularly gifted artistically before he or she could participate?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we welcome everybody, and the levels I see, it's amazing. I have parents that come to me with what they make at the beginning of an 8-week course, at the beginning of the summer, and then what they've made at the end of the summer, even the end of a session, and the difference is incredible. I mean, what they can learn, just sitting down for a day, even just like a few hours.
April 21st and 22nd, the Chain of Parks Art Festival is coming at us once again. That's a Saturday and a Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The Saturday evening concert, don't forget, with the Crickets, will be 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. And it's all free, although you do have to buy your own food. This is part of the deal, okay? But the music and the art, all of it is there just for you and I and for the thousands who will be notified. In fact, by the way, nationally acclaimed, should have mentioned this much earlier in our conversation, this art festival, this art show by itself has received some national recognition for it being one of the top.
Currently number one in the nation.
Number one.
Right here in Tallahassee. Number one in the nation by Sunshine Artist Magazine.
Wow. Folks, this is why we love our hometown, do we not? And let's celebrate that today as we go forward. We'll let these ladies get back to work. Kelly, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Our pleasure. And Alexandra.
Thank you.
What a charming person.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Great to have you on board.
That's great.
Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck & Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at tiffanyhamilton.com.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're in the second hour of this here fine radio show. By the way, I haven't reminded you of this lately. I should. You can find all of Tallahassee Talks online. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place. We think it's better to focus on the things we are rather than bemoan the things we're not, or dwell upon our disappointments. Come on, I mean, why don't we get excited about the fact that we are duly noted as, and this is good news, the very first community to be recognized as Hurricane Strong. We're the very first in the nation. Now, why didn't this make the headlines? I don't know. Leon County declared first hurricane strong community in the nation at the National Hurricane Conference. Okay, well, who did this? You got to know that there's something called the Federal Alliance for Safe Homes. Acronym is FLASH. No, that's not a Marvel character in this case. Federal Alliance for Safe Homes is the country's leading consumer advocate for strengthening homes and safeguarding families from natural and man-made disasters. Aha. So the FLASH partnership includes more than 100 innovative and diverse organizations that share a vision of making America a more disaster-resilient, catch that word, resilient, nation, including BASF Corporation, FEMA, the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Home Depot, all of these folks, Huber Engineered Woods. There's a lot of very big companies, governmental agencies, all part of this FLASH organization. Well, speaking of safety, Leon County Commission voted to close this loophole regarding gun safety, right? And this all referred to as the gun show loophole, which effectively says that if you're a private individual selling to another individual, you're not subject to the same requirements that would be in play if you're a reseller. That is to say, if you're, you know, Bass Pro Shop or any other retailer and you're selling guns, well, then a background check is appropriate, and there's a five-day waiting period that's applied and such. Not the case for private citizens selling to other citizens until now in Leon County. And that means that when if you happen to go to a gun show and, you know, you're buying a gun, well, you could do so without the seller being required to issue a background check, to have you wait 5 days. And now, with the county's decision, those rules apply. That is to say, you can't go to a gun show, or you can't buy a gun from a private individual, in any case, without that being required. The five-day waiting period and the background check. Of course, all of that in league with this heightened concern for gun safety across the nation. And, of course, the events of late having to do with schools, particularly, and other public settings, bring all of that to bear. And it's in a political issue that certainly is not going to go away anytime soon. Not that it should. In fact, I think, in fact, with this kind of effort, you start to get down to some of the more practical, some of the more applied, more realistic ways in which we can better govern ourselves. So when you talk about sensible gun laws, well, sensibilities say, let's do something that is immediately applied, very simple, very practical, not intending upon undermining the provisions of the Second Amendment, but rather undermining the nefarious and evil intentions of an individual or a group of individuals who may want to take advantage of what, in this case, would be considered this gun show loophole. So, Leon County Commission stepping up and getting that done. In other news, when we talk about welfare, for the county. We are very much involved in this business of looking at poverty as a topic and hunger and homelessness. It plagues the county. It plagues the families in our region. And it is of top concern for all three of these individuals who we have spoken with. We're going to talk to Rick Miner today, the third in this lineup of candidates for City Commission Seat 3. Well, for those of you who may not know, Rick Miner is the CEO for America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend. And for those of you who don't know this, Second Harvest is the watershed. They are the source for most, if not all, of the other food charities in our community. Certainly the ones that have the greater demand placed upon them, people like Echo and Catholic Social Services, Catholic Charities. If you're going to those places because you need food for your kids, generally speaking, it has come by way of America's Second Harvest in the main. Jim Croteau took over for about a year's time. He did a great job. Then here comes Rick Miner, and he took up the helm and has continued to push forward in raising awareness and funding. For our part, this is something we do on behalf of Tallahassee Talks and several other media allies, Tallahassee Family Magazine, our radio station, Moose Magnificat, all of us involved in what we have called the Tallahassee Food Challenge. All right, so in essence, the Food Challenge is an information campaign. It's intended to make us better aware of what we really face as a county. We had Jerry Parrish here, Dr. Parrish from the Florida Chamber, Foundation, last week, talking about the magnitude of poverty in our community. And the numbers are shocking, frankly. Certainly hard to imagine, but they're right there. And Jerry Parrish was good about being very unfiltered about that. He was pretty unabashed in saying, look at these zip codes, look at the households that are suffering within those zip codes. look at the families and the kids that are going hungry because they don't have the income that even the most modest household would require. It's just a fact. So while we continue to struggle in trying to solve that problem and bring people up out of their entrenched status, income entrenchment, we have the need. The need goes on. And, you know, hunger doesn't wait, does it? It doesn't take a holiday, and it doesn't wait for the next social program. So the Tallahassee Food Challenge is really about just saying, come on, take the challenge, fill a bowl, let's feed the hungry. Let's get that part done. And it's a pleasure to welcome as our title sponsor this year, the presenting sponsor for Tallahassee Food Challenge 2018, our good friends at Gain Street Pies. Jeremy Matlow and his partner Ryan have stepped up, and Gain Street Pies will be our title sponsor this year, along with a host of other sponsors. We'll talk about them in weeks ahead, and you can find them online if you go to the TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com. Stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talk.
Rick Miner is the chief executive officer of the Big Bend's nonprofit food bank. Under his leadership, the food bank has grown by 20% over the past year, providing more than 6 million meals to local families and individuals struggling with hunger. It coordinates with more than 130 agency partners, churches, schools, other nonprofits, to serve about 55,000 people every month. Rick is also the former chief of staff to the mayor's office at Tallahassee City Hall. In his role, he was responsible for managing both the mayor's office and the city's involvement in various projects, such as Local Business Saturday, Choose Tallahassee, and the DeSoto America's First Christmas site. He also functioned as the city's intergovernmental and legislative liaison, advocating for federal and state policies that benefited Tallahassee's residents and businesses. He is our guest this morning. How are you, sir?
I'm real good, Brian. It's good to be back.
Mr. CEO Rick Miner, America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend, the proper title there, which turned out to be for you a bit of a left turn. You were heading down the path of running for office and decided you had another opportunity come your way. And how did that all come about, I guess? Well, that was kind of a quick turn, wasn't it?
Well, I was running for office. I think the last time I was on your show, I was running for office then in 2016.
Right.
And I was looking for something that would complement my work on the commission if I were to get elected.
I got you.
I interviewed for my job at the food bank about a year and a half ago while I was a candidate. So all the board in that interview knew I was a candidate then.
Yeah.
We talked about it very frankly, and we all arrived at the decision that actually the two jobs complement each other.
I see.
In my job, which I got, I work with 130 agency partners, you know, churches, schools, soup kitchens, and other nonprofits that serve the needy in the Big Bend.
Right.
And that's a great way to have your finger on the pulse of how things are running in the Big Bend. And so I joined about a year and a half ago at the food bank. It's been going great. As you said, I mean, we've grown by 20% our distribution of food. We're on track to grow another 20 to 25% in our distribution. That's a big number, a big increase.
It's remarkable to consider that when not long before your arrival there as the chief executive officer, Jim Croteau had grabbed the reins in a sort of interim capacity, and here he was really just trying to keep the thing from being shut down because you guys had operated in a underpar facility for so long, had been fighting the good fight, trying to keep that thing alive, and it was just a leaky vessel. And so he was able to kind of hold on, and then you came in, and from there it sounds like it's made some remarkable progress.
Well, Dr. Croteau did an amazing job. He held and the staff and the board during the time that he was there really held the whole operation together.
Yeah.
Were it not for him, I don't think Second Harvest would be here today.
It's remarkable to consider that, Rick, because what I've learned from you, from Dr. Croteau, from others associated with the organization, you folks are a watershed. You really aren't simply taking care of those who show up on your doorstep. You're caring for all of these other food charities, Echo and, I mean, you know, Catholic Charities, all of them, Tallahassee Food Bank. They all look to you for those supplies, and if you're not doing that, we're in big trouble.
We do help 130 other agencies, and so not only when someone donates to the food bank, that helps us, but it also helps out all of those different agencies.
Yeah.
Because by us providing food for them to distribute directly to people in need, we're helping improve their bottom line. Mm. The more food they get from us, the more resources they have to develop to divert to other areas of their service.
Right, right.
So there's definitely a multiplier effect with regard to Second Harvest helping those agency partners, which then in turn help out folks in need.
And yet, here you come once again, interested in serving as commissioner for the city, seat 3. So you haven't given up on that idea, clearly. What has kept your interest? What has held you in that way of thinking?
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty right now in our city government.
Hmm.
You know, come November, we're going to have 2, maybe 3 new commissioners. We're going to have a brand new mayor. Those people that are elected will have to select and hire a new city manager, a new city auditor. I don't think in the history of Tallahassee, certainly not in modern times, we've had that much turnover within our city leadership.
Hmm.
Not to mention we're in the midst of an FBI investigation, a tremendous amount of uncertainty at City Hall. Mm. We need people who know what they're doing, who have worked at the city, who have worked as a government employee, who developed public policy throughout their career. We need people who know what they're doing, who can help steer the City Hall leadership in a direction that's going to get us out of this mess. I want to do whatever I can to help push that and make progress on that, because that serves the people who live in Tallahassee, and it helps get our kids on the right track.
Right. Do you feel like the investigation itself and the questions related to the possibility of there being corruption have left people wondering whether, in fact, having new blood, someone from the outside of city government, somebody who is not experienced, affords them some kind of advantage? You come to the mix with that background, somebody else coming from the business community, particularly who doesn't have that experience, how would we assume, I guess, that they are better or less tainted, maybe less
people want
corrupt?
People want commissioners, and they want a mayor who's going to be honest, transparent, open. Someone who will listen to citizens' views on things. Mm. And that, I think, is the most important criterion for the voters of Tallahassee. If you look at my background, you talk to people who worked with me, those are the attributes that I have. I consider my time at the city to be a great opportunity that was handed to me. I got to see a lot of things that the city is doing very well. I also saw some things that I didn't agree with. at the city that I want to change. Mm. You know, there's good and bad at the city. Like I said, those 3,000 or employees are doing a great job day to day, but some of the policy making at the head within the commission, I think need to be improved upon.
Talking with Rick Miner in his campaign for seat 3, city commission. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We'll be right back.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maid's way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maid's makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, any time, day or night, when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maid's this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205, or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're talking with Rick Miner. He has thrown his hat in the ring in relation to this upcoming vacancy. Nancy Miller occupies seat 3 with City Commission. Rick, you've talked about some of your experience working within government, working within the ranks of the folks there at America's Second Harvest. So you do bring a kind of interesting mix, you know, between the whole nonprofit charitable world, the organizational side of that. You have all of this background with the city. I started to ask you about this earlier. When you think of the mayor's office, some have argued that the mayor should be selected or elected in a different way than it is now. Currently, it really happens as a separate item, doesn't it? How is the mayor elected now?
Well, there are five seats on the city commission,
right?
And one of those seats is the mayor
right.
slot.
Yep.
And all the commissioners are elected at large to the city. So yeah, yeah. Anyone that lives within the city limits of Tallahassee can vote for any
one of those,
or the
yeah.
mayor on the ballot.
Right. And so if we have a new mayor, it's because we've already decided in this election of these commissioners who that's going to be. And at this point, we don't know who that candidate is.
Well, yes. So what will happen is that there is seat 4. Hmm. Seat 4 is the mayor's seat on the commission.
Okay.
So and you have to basically qualify for that seat as a mayoral candidate if you want to run for mayor.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. You know, in terms of the next few weeks. I heard Senator Munford will be deciding pretty soon on what his decision is going to be.
Right.
Whether he says yes or no will then lead to a domino effect, I think. Mm-hmm. But we will find out pretty soon. And then once qualifying ends, in other words, once we know the names on the ballot, then the voters of Tallahassee will have the ability to make that choice.
I think Commissioner Ziffer was looking in that direction, and then Mr. Munford stood up and he said, maybe I don't want to run against Bill Munford. Bill's been around a long time and has served the community quite well in a lot of different ways. A lot of that comes down to what your chances are. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, I have this interest. I want to try to help. But I think you found yourself in that same situation when Scott Maddox decided, I guess I'll stay. You know, and so, because there were a couple of you folks. Gloria was running. Mm-hmm. You were running for that same seat. And you decide, maybe that's not this is not my time.
When, because I'd been running in that campaign for about a year.
I know you had.
And you and I had actually
yep.
talked on this radio program
yep.
about that campaign.
Yep. You and I were much younger then.
Which
true.
Feels like it.
Yeah. Not any smarter, that's for sure.
Yep. Scott Maddox called me a couple days beforehand, before he made it announced, and said, Rick, I'm going to get back in the race. Mm-hmm. And I said, at first I was defiant. I said, well, I'm going to run against you. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been in this for too long and running too hard to mm-hmm. stop now. Mm-hmm. And he said, okay. I thought about it for a couple of days and called him back and basically said, well, I'm going to go ahead and step out. You know, his name ID was through the stratosphere, and mm-hmm. and mine's probably not totally non-existent, but you know, his name ID is just mm-hmm. way. I mean, and so I came to the realization that I could have worked very, very hard, and my supporters could have been working very, very hard as well. But I don't think we would have mm-hmm. won. And now what I did though is I asked all those donors. I said, well, would you be willing to allow me to retain your donation for the next time? Mm-hmm. And I was really surprised about the response. Mm-hmm. More than 90% said, just keep the money for the next time.
Right.
And so I've been very fortunate to have a very large number of people that mm-hmm. That
I did write and ask campaign. For a refund, but I never got the, no, just teasing. Just a joke.
We'll straighten that out just after, after this program.
No, it's just, I'm just joking. That's all it is. So, in fact, you regret that decision at this point, or are you?
No, at the time I felt it was an unfortunate mm-hmm. series of events. But mm-hmm. looking back, I think it probably was the most fortunate thing that could have happened to me.
The thing I noticed, I mean, you've spent your life as a political animal. You've been inside of government in some capacity most of your professional career.
Well, I'm the only candidate in my race that has nonprofit experience, government experience, and private sector business experience. Okay. I'm the only candidate that has all three in leadership positions in mm-hmm. each of those. Mm-hmm. I think that says something. You know, we need commissioners that have a wide perspective and thorough understanding of how the business sector works, the struggles that they go through, mm-hmm. and where local government can be intrusive and hinder their success. Mm-hmm. We need commissioners that understand that. We also need commissioners that understand the way government works.
Right.
And it takes at least a year, I think, for a newly elected commissioner to understand how the city of Tallahassee works.
When you talk about business owners, a lot of them will talk to me about the frustrations they find when dealing with the city, that yeah. there are ways in which the city could be streamlined or they could be a bit more responsive. You've talked about, you know, the 95%, those who are in there every day doing their job. One of the realities that came to bear when going through several hurricanes, we marked time by the hurricanes that we've gone through. You know, and the mayor's out there trying to flip the switch, and we find out the mayor doesn't have that switch. You know, that's Rob McGuire and all the folks at the city and all of those other men and women who are out there on the line getting it done. So lesson number one, boys and girls, the commissioners don't run the town. The commissioners have opportunity to voice an opinion, and maybe they can set policy. Talk about the process. I got a little far afield there, but the process of doing business in the city, and do you think there's room for improvement?
I do. I mean, coming back to your point, I mean, you know, the mayor and the commissioners, they set policy. You know, they with staff, they formulate the budget, they establish the priorities in the budget, and they approve the budget. Hmm. But on the day-to-day, it's the city manager that mm-hmm. that runs the vast majority of the city operations. Mm-hmm. And you know, almost the entire city workforce reports mm-hmm. to the city manager in a very hierarchical structure.
Right.
So when you talk about the linemen
yeah.
that are working nonstop to restore people's power, I mean, that's part of the 95% of the yep. workforce that I'm talking about. Those yep. guys are kicking butt.
Yeah.
And I think the public really understands and appreciates that.
When it comes to oversight, when it comes to city managers, when it comes to the operations day to day, and there have been some concerns there, do you think that there needs to be a restructuring or a rethinking of how the city manages itself at that level?
I think I think you're hitting on ethics reform and ethical culture, right? I mean,
we are now.
One thing I've been talking about is comprehensive ethics reform that we need at City Hall. Mm. The basic bones are there. If you were to take a look at the code of ethics that is currently on the books right now, there have been some improvements in the last several months. Mm. There are areas that we can improve upon, but the basic bones of a good code of ethics are there. What we have been lacking is an ethical culture. Mm. You can have a pristine, grade A, best practices code of ethics sitting on your shelf, but if you don't have a leadership that is strict, not about others' behavior, but their own behavior, mm-hmm. and applying that code of ethics, you're not going to have an organization that's ethical. And so, it starts with the mayor and commissioners and the appointed officials. Mm-hmm. You've got to have folks that are not rationalizing some of their decisions for even the smallest detail. And I think we've seen some of those missteps along the way. And, we've seen the coverage in the recent months about that.
He is running for C3, Tallahassee City Commission. Rick Miner is our guest. You stay with me. We've got more.
I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
If you've just joined us, we've had the opportunity here to get to know better our good friend Rick Miner. He's running for C3 City Commission, serving the community in a number of different ways over the years, and as an elected official, this will be his first position, if elected, right? Or did you operate within, I think, all of your other work within government, those were, you were a hired hand as such, right?
And I served as
consultant
a chief of staff to the mayor's office, and have put in quite a few years as a public policy developer.
Yeah, and taught at TCC and FSU. I think you taught government mm-hmm. there for...
Yep, I taught a couple courses at TCC, and just recently last year taught legislative systems at Florida State.
So you love this stuff.
I mean, I love it. It's great. I mean, it.
God help you, man. I don't know.
Government at its best can do a lot of good for a community.
Yeah.
Government at its worst is what I think a lot of us are seeing and feeling that we see. I mean, I'm not talking necessarily just Tallahassee, but, it seems that... it seems like sometimes our government structures are just falling apart now.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't, I think we need to really focus on, democracy is not just, you don't just simply set it in motion and let it go. Mm-hmm. It's incumbent upon all of us in the public to constantly be vigilant about what's going on.
It's an interesting interplay, and we've had this conversation several times with several people in public office, people in organizational status with Village Square. When you look at how we as a community can better come together, I mean, we're divided, whether we like it or not. We're in sectors around this town, and it's a small town. Mm. I mean, it's one thing to say, if you're a population of 2 million people and you have boroughs like, major metropolitan, sure, that's fine. We're frickin' Tallahassee here. You're looking at 300,000 people that live in these little neighborhoods mm-hmm. and are shocked to find out how different we are from one another. Well, can that be fostered? I mean, and can we get further along the way than simply a long table or, you know, a village square meeting? Maybe we start hosting and fostering gatherings where people that are quite different, I don't know if it's festivals, I know the music, you've done Tallahassee Music Week for a couple of years. I think those are good ideas. I think that helps bring us together.
You know, I am bullish on Tallahassee's ability to come together and have a constructive dialogue. The Village Square is a great example. That's a excellent example of people from very diverse points of view coming together and having a true to life discussion about the issues. We need to replicate that more often and have that go beyond just the 200 people that are in those Village Square events. But it takes one way we can help that is by having commissioners that are very accessible. You know, I go around on the campaign trail and I give my business card out, and my business card has my cell phone number on it. And I tell people that. I say, this is my cell phone. That number on that business card, it rings on this phone right here that I'm touching. Call me anytime. If you have an issue that you're working on as a commissioner and you think you've formulated a position, you need to go out of your way and find the people that are going to disagree with you on that.
Right.
And hear them out.
Right.
You know, we've had a lot of discussion the last couple of days about the Cascades Project.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends that are very upset about the oaks that were demolished. And Dimitri Hollinger is a great young man that has been promoting Tallahassee African-American culture. He took video of the Firestone building being demolished, something that he'd been trying to save for years. You know, there are pros and cons with the Cascades Project. There are elements of it that are very good for Tallahassee. But when you have that many people that are that upset and not being notified of those trees coming down, that is a symptom that we need to do a better job of having that dialogue. The project has been known for a while, but did we really have that constructive dialogue with opposing points of view, welcoming different points of view into the discussion so that we can have a community discussion about that? I think that's important.
And the technologies that we have available to make that happen are not that exotic. I mean, I think that it's not an unreasonable idea to put Facebook Live at every one of those commission meetings. That's one of the things that WFSU did the night of the town hall.
Yeah.
My question is, why do we only do that once a year?
It's hard. I mean, you know, the city commission proceedings are on TV. You know, you can go to, you know, WCOT to view those when they're airing.
But my 34-year-old son doesn't have a television, and he doesn't intend to buy one.
Well, my point is that we've got to do more, because even when, you know, there are, what, maybe only 2,000, 3,000 people that watch, you know, that commission proceeding.
Right.
We've got to do a better job. And when I say we, I mean people that are in elected positions to get their points across.
Right.
People are busy, you know. I mean, I've got one daughter, 4 years old, and I'm, you know, it's hard for me to stay on top of all the news that's going on here in Tallahassee as well as in D.C. And around the world.
Yeah.
And I'm in this stuff.
Yeah.
So just, you know, it's hard for hardworking people that have a job or two during the day who are also taking care of their families to stay on top of all the things that are going on in Tallahassee.
Yeah.
We've got to be creative about making it easier for them to hear about what we're doing.
Some people have said, I would pay attention more if I thought that my voice counted.
Well, we have to change that.
Yeah.
We have to have them feel like they're being listened to and paid attention to. And this is one of the things I talked to you before about when I was at the city, there were a lot of things that I saw that were being done very well and some things that I think needed to be changed. When I was there, I did not think certain segments of the community were being truly listened to.
Yeah.
Sure, they could come in, they could come to a city commission meeting and say what's on their mind, but I did not always see true receptive listening on what people were saying. And we need, people pick up on that.
Yeah.
You know, anyone that lives in the city of Tallahassee has a right to express their voice, to state their position, and be listened to by their elected officials.
Yeah.
Whether those elected officials agree with it or not, they need to be paying attention and have an open mind about the issues.
Mm. Rick Miner is our guest and running for office. He is he's thrown his hat in the ring here for seat 3, city commission, in this coming election. August will be the primary.
August 28th.
And if there's a runoff, then we go on into the final election. Mr. Miner, thank you for your kind attention.
Thanks, Brian. It's been great. I think it's my third time.
You are definitely racking up the moose points here on the old moose wall. So we're happy that you've made the time for us today. I know
Thanks
you are very, very busy. Folks, that's what we have for you this week. I hope that you've enjoyed it as much as we have. It's a pleasure to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week, and a pleasure to have people like Rick Miner along for the ride, because it just makes me sound so much more intelligent. Anyway, we're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment here in Tallahassee, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. Alexandra Blackwell, an associate producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.